Welcome to 48MN5, a download of 48M LLC, recorded at 2100 Eastern on Saturday, June 15th. I'm Chris Bohm, with a selection of tech sector and related global news and policy highlights from the past week. Coming up, immigration reform negotiations continue in Congress. European Commission Vice President Neelie Kroes addresses net neutrality in a speech before the European Parliament. A Kenyan firm advances a new modem hardware designed with particular African user environments in mind. Google launches a high-flying internet access project in New Zealand. And the Australian Attorney General requests a full review of national privacy laws. But first, on Tuesday, June 11th, House Speaker John Boehner called NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden a traitor in an interview on ABC's Good Morning America. Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, who chairs the Senate Intelligence Committee, also accused Mr. Snowden of treason and said that American authorities were aggressively pursuing him. Snowden, 29 years old, had been working as an NSA contractor, as an employee of Booz Allen Hamilton, and leaked documents to the Guardian newspaper of London and the Washington Post, showing that the agency had been gathering so-called metadata from Verizon customers and internet data as a part of a secret program called PRISM. European Union officials, according to The Guardian, have demanded swift and concrete answers from the U.S. government about its NSA programs. Given Europe's continuing program of revision to its privacy rules, it has been a subject of debate in numerous privacy blogs and lists this past week as to whether binding corporate rules might be expected to address potential conflicts of law involving data requests for law enforcement or national security purposes, and to further prevent blanket disclosures. European Union Justice Commissioner Viviane Reding, author of the EU's draft regulation on data protection, has particularly laid out seven questions that she said needs to be answered by the U.S., questions that she sees as critical in the context of EU-U.S. data protection in the field of police and judicial cooperation. According to the Associated Press, German Chancellor Angela Merkel also planned to raise the surveillance issue when President Obama visits Berlin this week, his first state visit as president. A bipartisan group of eight senators, including Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, and Al Franken, Democrat of Minnesota, introduced a bill on Tuesday to declassify FOIA court opinions. Wyden added to CNET News, "It is impossible for the American people to have an informed public debate about laws that are interpreted, enforced, and adjudicated in complete secrecy." Senator Franken did defend the NSA programs, saying that they were not spying on the American people, adding that he has a high level of confidence that this is used to protect us. Earlier in the week, Google Chief Legal Officer David Drummond had written in an open letter to U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder that assertions in the press that our compliance with U.S. requests give the government unfettered access to our users' data are simply untrue. In a statement late Friday, Google said, "We have always believed that it's important to differentiate between different types of government requests. We already publish criminal requests separately from our national security letters, and lumping these two categories together would be a step back for users. Our request to the government is clear. To be able to publish aggregate numbers of national security requests, including FISA disclosures, separately." For the first time on Friday, Facebook and Microsoft both reported that they had received data requests from the government under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, but added that the government would not permit them to provide specific figures. According to the Washington Post's article on Friday, June 14th, the government has permitted both companies to provide broad numbers of breakdowns. Over the last 6 months of 2012, Facebook reported that it had received as many as 10,000 requests from local, state, and federal authorities, impacting as many as 19,000 accounts. Microsoft said that it has received between 6,000 and 7,000 requests, impacting as many as 32,000 accounts. The companies reported that some of the requests were for terrorism investigations, but others were from local authorities or federal marshals. It was thus impossible to see the possible scale of FISA requests made by the NSA from the available numbers. Facebook General Counsel Ted Hewlett wrote in a blog post late Friday that in light of the continued confusion and inaccurate reporting related to this issue, we have advocated the ability to say more. According to the Washington Post, Facebook has been in deep discussions with government officials throughout the week and released the information less than 1 minute after getting federal approval. At the time 40A&M and 5 was produced this week on Saturday evening, several new developments on this topic were being reported by Bloomberg, CNET, and other news outlets, developments which we will defer until a later installment. As of the start of June, the immigration reform bill proposed by the Senate's bipartisan Gang of Eight has passed out of committee and was headed for the full Senate, but the fate of the issue in the House is less clear. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Democrat of Nevada, has said that he's going to do nothing to interfere with immigration, adding that it's important for our country, and I admire the bipartisan nature of what has happened with the Gang of Eight bill. It's exemplary of what we should be doing around here on everything, as reported by NPR. The Hill newspaper reports that Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi believes that a bill could be sent to the president to sign by August. It's clear that immigration reform remains at the forefront of Congress's agenda heading into the summer. But there remain fierce opponents of the Senate draft's promised path to citizenship for 11 million unauthorized immigrants. Several legislators, including Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican of Alabama, and Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, have prepared potential poison pill amendments designed to potentially kill the legislation if citizenship path provisions are left in. Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York, leader of the Gang of Eight, has said that, "My hope is that we could pass the Senate bill with a large number of votes, and the House would take it up." Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona, agrees, saying that he's still optimistic that we can get this through the House and the Senate. Javier Becerra, the House's fourth-ranking Democrat, largely agrees, saying that the Senate's proved that you can come up with a bipartisan deal, and I think in the House we are going to do the same thing. However, as reported by NPR, House Speaker John Boehner does not intend to simply take up whatever the Senate might send over on the issue. President Obama has avoided inserting himself into this debate in an effort not to scare off Republicans, according to the Christian Science Monitor. Republicans who are attempting to get to yes say that they appreciate the president's approach thus far. He's played the right role, the outside cheerleader, and that's been useful and effective, according to Senator Jeff Flack, Republican of Arizona, and an author of the Senate bill. It would be more difficult if he were out front pushing this issue, according to Senator Flack. On May 30th, European Commission Vice President for the Digital Agenda, Neelie Kroes, gave a speech before the European Parliament calling for the need to guarantee network neutrality in Europe. A year ago, Vice President Kroes had asked the BEREC, the body of European network regulators, to develop for her evidence asking, are users in Europe provided with the right quality of service? How much blocking or throttling of traffic is taking place in practice? And how easy is it for users to switch operators or internet services? BEREC issued that report on May 29th, providing a country-by-country breakdown. Vice President Kroes told the Parliament that different users have different network needs. Some want a straightforward mobile package to check out email or website, while others want to watch videos on their tablet, consuming higher quantities of bandwidth. Vice President Kroes' position on the issue has varied. Since the reshaping of the EU telecommunications regulatory framework in 2009, which included light-touch regulatory provisions addressing net neutrality issues, Kroes has identified transparency, consumer choice, and the ability for consumers to switch providers without countless obstacles instead of net neutrality as the main paths to an open internet. For me, she said, an open platform is built upon competition, innovation, transparency, and choice, she said. Transparency is the key gateway to an open internet. With genuine transparency, I doubt that many customers would care to buy a limited product, or that many ISPs, for that matter, would dare to offer one. During her speech before Parliament, she said that she would deliver a legislative package by Easter 2014. In related news in the U.S., the U.S. Supreme Court released its opinion on Monday, May 20th, in Arlington v. FCC, case number 11-1545, a 6-3 decision. Justice Antonin Scalia wrote for the majority that, in cases where Congress has left ambiguous the outlines of a regulatory agency's jurisdiction, the court must defer to the administering agency's construction of the statute so long as it's permissible. This potentially has implications for Verizon v. FCC, according to the New York Times, a case in which Verizon challenged the FCC's open internet order, its rules promulgated nearly 2 years ago on net neutrality.
The net neutrality case is pending before the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. The court was expected to hear arguments in this case this past spring, but deferred the case until the fall. Through a spokesman, Verizon commented they didn't anticipate that the decision would have any effect on their appeal, as reported by the New York Times. In the Arlington case, Justice Scalia wrote that, with regard to whether the FCC could legitimately claim jurisdiction over internet service providers, the question is simply whether the statutory text forecloses the agency's assertion of authority or not. However, in Comcast v. FCC, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit has written that the FCC did not have the authority over Comcast's internet service, as such authority was not ancillary to the authority laid out by Congress in the Communications Act. Thus, how or if the current Supreme Court opinion will truly impact the present net neutrality case in the U.S. remains to be seen. The Kenyan firm Ushahidi has developed a modem specifically designed for conditions in Africa. Announced at the TED Global Conference in Edinburgh, as reported on by the BBC last week, the BRCK modem will work like a mobile phone, switching between Wi-Fi and 3G when a fixed-line internet connection is down. Users can also plug in a SIM card to choose other mobile networks. The BRCK also has an 8-hour battery and cloud-based software, enabling it to be accessed from anywhere, potentially to see how Wi-Fi and local electricity may be performing, or to manage alerts and applications. For remote villages, where even a mobile signal is difficult to find, it also has an inbuilt antenna to boost signal strength. The team developing the BRCK had long been fed up, in their words, with making to do with hardware that has never been designed to cope with the specific issues and variable environments in Africa. The BRCK is expected to go on sale in November for approximately $190, as reported by the BBC. As announced early on Saturday, Google is launching internet beaming antennas into the stratosphere aboard giant jellyfish-shaped balloons. 18 months into the works, the top-secret project was announced for New Zealand, where up to 50 volunteer households are already beginning to receive the internet briefly on their home computers via translucent helium balloons that sail on the wind 12 miles above the Earth. While the project is still in the very early stages, Google hopes eventually to launch thousands of the balloons to bring the internet to some of the more remote parts of the globe, narrowing the digital divide between the 2.2 billion people who are online and the 4.8 billion who aren't. The so-called Project Loon was reportedly developed by the Google X Lab that also came up with the driverless car and Google's web surfing eyeglasses. Google would not say how much it is investing in the project or how much customers will be charged when it is up and running. In recent years, military and aeronautical researchers have used tethered balloons to beam internet signals back to the Earth. Google's balloons would be untethered and out of sight, strung out in a line around the globe. They would ride the winds around the world while Google used ground controllers to adjust their altitude and to keep them moving along the desired route. Ground stations about 60 miles apart would bounce internet signals up to the balloons. The signals would hop backward from one balloon to the next to keep people continuously connected. Solar panels attached to the inflatables would generate electricity to power the internet circuit boards, radios, and antennas, as well as onboard flight control equipment. Each balloon would provide internet service for an area twice the size of New York City, or about 780 square miles, and because of their high altitude, rugged terrain would not be a problem. At this stage, the company is putting a few dozen balloons up over New Zealand and then bringing them down after a short period. Later this year, Google hopes to have as many as 300 of them circling the globe continuously along the 40th parallel on a path that takes them over New Zealand, Australia, Chile, and Argentina. Australian Attorney General Mark Dreyfus has asked the Australian Law Reform Commission to undertake a broad and comprehensive review of privacy law in Australia, according to a ZDNet story posted by Josh Taylor on Wednesday, July 12th. The review will focus on the growth of surveillance and technology, community perceptions of privacy, and related international standards. Although not specifically mentioned in the announcement, the timing of the request and review, coinciding with the revelations and controversy regarding NSA surveillance in the U.S., was noted by ZDNet. Dreyfus said that that privacy often has to be counterbalanced with law enforcement and national security, but that he doesn't perceive that the online era and this balance means the death of privacy. According to ZDNet, he added that he hopes that new reforms will build even more confidence in the Australian community about the privacy practices of government agencies and businesses by facilitating even more open, transparent, and secure handling practices involving personal information. The Reform Commission's work is to begin immediately with a report back to the government on findings and recommendations by 2014. You have been listening to 40 A&M in 5, a production of 40 A&M LLC. For more information, visit 40a-m.com. All stories for this week's podcast were reported by at least two online or print news sources or taken directly from relevant releases, with the exception of specific reporting highlighted from ZDNet, the BBC, the Washington Post, Associated Press, and the New York Times. We will be off next week and the week following, but we'll be back again with you for an extended edition of 40 A&M and 5 on Monday, July 8th. Until then, make this week and every week one to remember. And bye for now.